Good morning, Calvary Church.
Good morning.
David had it right when he said, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren when they dwell together in unity." He got it right. Here we are this beautiful morning, and those out there online watching us this morning and listening in on the service, welcome to our service today. And it's Father's Day, another day to be so grateful. Amen. Today, we want to celebrate God's abundant goodness. And I want you to do something for me today. Now, we're not going to be singing together with Kristen, but for those who, you know, sometimes it's difficult to sort of like open your mouths and praise the Lord, we're going to do this. Let's see everyone do this. Raise your hands like this and shake. This is how the deaf community shakes, waves hands, and claps their hands like this. So when you're feeling the Holy Spirit, let's just do this. Amen. Amen. So the reading today is Psalm 145, verse 1 through 7. And it says, "I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness." What a wonderful psalm of praise. And we're here to give God glory today because it is a glorious day and he is worthy of all praise. Amen?
Amen.
Let's bow our heads and lift up our hearts as we open up our service today. Wonderful Savior, blessed Redeemer, you are worthy of all praise. All praise and glory is due unto your name. And I know for myself, there are no words how great you are. But Lord God, as our hearts, dear Lord, will be united in one accord to give you glory and praise for who you are. And I pray, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit will just abound in this place. And even those sitting in their homes, online, watching this service, that all hearts together will be united in one thing to give you the glory and praise. And I ask this all in your precious name, the name of Jesus, the name that we all say, amen.
Amen. My name is Pastor Frank Termine, and I want to welcome everybody here today and everybody who's watching. I'm not sure if I have ever been more excited to come to church than I am today. It is so good to be gathered together with people we love and share the Lord with. Could you pan the audience? And all of you out there, would you wave to your brothers and sisters that are watching? And I'm led to share this again. I know we've already heard it, but it's the Song of Ascent, Psalm 133. This was sung by people who were being regathered to Jerusalem. They sung this while they were going up to Jerusalem, which is 4,500 feet above sea level. That's why it's called the Song of Ascent. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. That's an amen on that. It's so great to be among people who love the Lord and are gathered to worship him. I don't know about you. It's just great. It's exciting to get back to gathered worship. And after 3 months of living in pandemic, an economic crisis, which is still going on, social unrest, what I want to ask us all to do is to obey this command from the Lord. So I want you to obey this command. You ready? It's Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. You think you could do that for an hour? Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. So let me lead us in prayer to celebrate God. Lord, we praise you for creating this physical and you have transported our hearts and minds to just spend some time, some quality time with you. Lord, give us a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit with a generous helping of peace that will last us at least until next Sunday. Holy Spirit, intercede for us with groans that words cannot express. We pray this in the name of the Prince of Peace, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that all the people said, amen. Amen. I want to remind everybody, tomorrow night, we have a very short, hopefully, meeting at 8 o'clock on Zoom. We're going to vote on buying. We need for you to approve an expenditure so we can live stream in the service. We need to buy some equipment to be able to do that, and we're going to need a short meeting because the congregation has to approve this because it's over the budgeted amount. So we've got some graduates here today. How about giving them a hand? Yay! What do you think? Should we honor their achievements? What do you think? All right, let's do that. Let's start with the high school grads first. I don't want to ask Manny Obasessin, where are you? Could you stand up, Manny? Stay standing, brother. Manny graduated from Hall High right here in West Hartford. He is headed to CCSU, for those that don't know, that's Central Connecticut State University, to pursue a degree in architectural engineering. Architectural engineering. Manny, I just want you to know that it's been proven that the most spiritual people have engineering degrees. Zach Parsadinov, stay standing, don't get down. This is your time, man. Zach Parsadinov will not be here today. His mom lost a very close friend, so she's pretty upset, so they stayed home today. But Zach, if you're watching, we're just so happy about you graduating from Ram High School in Hebron. Is it Hebron or Hebron?
Hebron.
Not even one of the two. He is headed to Manchester Community College in their precision manufacturing program. You know, that sounds like engineering to me. Good job. So, gentlemen, let me give you three pieces of advice that will almost assure you of success in life in God's eyes. You ready? You ready, Manny? Okay. Number one, independently own your personal relationship with Jesus. Independently own it, which means it's no longer the faith of your parents. It's your faith and yours alone. Know Jesus on your own. Continue to learn about how much he loves you. Love him back and show your love by following him, as many around you are going to try to lead you astray. Stand firm in the Lord. That's number one. Number two, get trained in a career, which you're starting to do. Not a job, but a career. God wants you to work, and he wants you to earn a good wage. He invented work at the beginning of time. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. We forgot this during this time, but our ancestors in the 1700s and the 1800s and into the early 1900s remembered this verse. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. It's in the Bible. And number three, wait till have sex until you are married, then stay married. You do those three things, I can guarantee you a fruitful life, and I can do that because they're all from the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. You can sit down now. Now on to our college grads. How about a little hand for them? First, Jenna Carvelis. Where are you, Jenna? Stand up. Yay. Jenna graduated. Okay, keep going. I can wait. Jenna graduated from UConn with a BA. Is it a BA or a BS?
Well, I got two. One in education and one in history. So the BA is history, BS is education.
BA in history and a BS in education. Okay. In a 5-year program, she'll finish up next year and have her master's degree. In both?
No, just in that.
Did I say you could sit down? Asti!
Rebecca graduated from Gordon College with a BS in early childhood education and a BA in psychology. Teaching in the area here. So we need to be praying for her for that. Ladies, you are outstanding students and excelled in your teaching internships. There are no doubt in my educators. But more important than that, while you were in college, you independently owned your personal relationship with Jesus. You knew Jesus on your own. You continued to learn about how much he loves you. You loved him back, and you showed your love by following him. You had your own churches. You belonged to fellowship groups, and you loved him by going on mission trips. You left for college as solid Christian teens and came back young adult Christian woman. Amen? And we watched it. We saw it. Now, in Proverbs 31, the writer describes a woman who excels in so many earthly things that it looks like she has 72 hours in her 24-hour day. But then the writer says this, Proverbs 31, 29 to 31, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. And if you got this in your Bibles, if you got this open now, underline this. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. This superwoman's real honor is that she was in love with the Lord. And ladies, you got it. You get it. And so my encouragement to you today is not to lose that focus. Keep on keeping on. Amen. Parents at home and here, would you lay hands on your child while I pray? Lord, we have four wonderful young people before us. They are maturing into beautiful followers of you. Individually and together, they can have a tremendous impact for your kingdom. We ask that you put a hedge of protection about them. Bless them with tangible expressions of your love and nurture them as your followers. May they become mature, godly men and women, making amazing impacts for your kingdom. Lord, please find Rebecca a position for the fall in a local school. We ask you these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And all the people said, amen, amen, amen. Amen. We have a gift for each of you on the table right over there. Don't forget to pick them up on the way out. Now, today's something else, too. What is it? Father's Day. Yes, Father's Day. On Mother's Day each year, we take the opportunity to celebrate all our wonderful females, and we've got a lot of them. Can I hear a cheer for all of our wonderful females? But today is Father's Day, and we want to take the opportunity to celebrate all the boys and men in our church. Ladies, can you give our men, whatever their age, can you give them a standing ovation right now? Have a standing ovation for our men. Great, thank you. Before I go on, I want to acknowledge that Father's Day is not a happy day for everyone every year. Some of you are sad because you lost a great dad. Even in your sadness, I encourage you to thank God for the years you had with him. Some of you don't have fond memories of your dad, like Kristen said. But if God has brought other good men in your life, perhaps you can thank God for those men. And even thank your father for bringing you into this world. God has blessed us at Calvary Church with lots of good dads and a lot of good men, boys, and teens. So if any of these males have had a positive effect in your life, can you just tell them that you appreciate having them in your life? You will make this day special. And I'd like to take a few minutes now to encourage our men from Scripture. But before I do it, let me lead us in prayer. Lord, as we open your word, we ask you to open our hearts and minds to what you will teach us today. Put your words into my mouth. Let not one of us leave here unchanged. We pray this in the name of the Son of Man, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Before I get started, I want to state that every father and husband here or watching today probably has some regrets. We all do. There's not one of us that does not have some regrets. Every single one of us wish we had done something differently. But I want you to listen to the Apostle Paul right now. Philippians 3:13. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Learn the lessons of your regrets. Ask God for forgiveness. And I want you to remember that Jesus had those nailed to the cross. Every single one of our failures has been nailed to the cross. And if we ask God for forgiveness, he will forgive us of all of those things. Those sins have been paid for. Those failings have been. Forget about them. Forget about them. There is nothing you can do about them at this point. And there's only one person that wants you to keep looking back at them. And it isn't God. Satan knows that if you're looking behind you, you're not looking at what's coming in front of you. So strain toward what is ahead. Keep your focus on being a dad now, wherever you are. Like a runner with the last 100-yard kick. Stay focused on what you can do now. Amen? Amen. All right, so what I want to do now, I know this is going to seem hard to believe, but I didn't really talk as brothers to the other men in our church. No matter what age you are, I want to talk to you as a fellow message too. We're going to take a walk through Scripture and what God has to say about this. So let's begin in Genesis 2:15, right at the beginning of time. Adam has been created by God. And it says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. That's where work was invented. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. Now I want you to notice when you read Scripture that Eve wasn't created at this point. The command was given to Adam. The command was given to Adam. So we know what comes next into chapter 3. Eve, so we think, has this conversation with the serpent, the devil. But you know what? That's not entirely true. Adam and Eve had this time with the serpent. It wasn't just Eve. It's a common misconception. And read what it says happened. When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband. Underline this in your Bible, because most people don't see this. She gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. He ate it. And who does God blame for the fall of man? It's Adam. Adam was supposed to be the pastor of his family. He's supposed to be the shepherd of his family. He's supposed to be guarding not only himself, but his wife from spiritual ruin. And he failed. He was passive. He just stood there. Instead of taking an active role, he was passive and went along with it. Not a good attribute for a man. So then, of course, comes the curse. God curses the ground. He curses the serpent. And then he says this to Adam and Eve in verse 3:16. He says, your desire will be for your husband. He's talking to the woman there. There's some controversy exactly what that means. We'll leave that on the side for now. And he will rule over you. Now, this particular line is not prescriptive. God is not saying this is how I want things to go. He is describing what it's going to look like in a fallen world. He is describing. And what he means by he will rule over you is he's going to lord it over you. Not only is passivity not good, the other thing that's not good is to lord it over our wives and family and whoever God gives us authority over. To lord it over. What that means is to lead for my own good. To lead for my own good. Not for the good of the people I'm leading, but to lead for me. So it's wrong to be a passive man. It's also wrong for a man to lead for only himself. To have a self-centered leadership. And so we move on now to Romans 13:1. You might ask, well, Pastor, why do you have to have tabs here? Don't you know where the books of the Bible are? I do, but if I don't do this, I keep talking and everybody else turns there and then they're looking at me and I'm not there yet. So this helps me to remember. Go to the passage. So anyway, in 13:1, it says this. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which is God has established. No authority except what God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling about what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. God, who is sovereign, has delegated authority, governing authority. He's given authority in the church. He's given authority in the family, parents. He's delegated his authority. He's distributed it. And any authority that we have, female or male, has been given to us by God. We are his under-shepherds. We are serving him in his capacity. And so if he gives us something to do, to lead, some people to lead, he will also empower us to do a good job if we depend on him. So know that. You have God, men, on your side wanting to help you lead your families well. So then we move on to Ephesians 5:25. Here we get the clearest explanation of what male leadership should look like. In fact, what all leadership should look like. Husbands, love your wives. Yeah, we know that. But how? Just as Christ loved the church. Every time I read that, it causes me to pause. I'm sorry. That is a pretty high standard. Just as Jesus loved the church and gave himself up for her. What that means is he's set aside all of his prerogatives, all of his privileges to serve. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church. Without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. Jesus died to serve God's purposes, and he calls men to die to selves, to serve his purposes in his family. As a husband, and as a father. It's a high calling. It's a very high calling. Not passive. Not ruling. So you're saying, is this in between? No, it's not in between. It's on a completely different plane. It's called servant leadership. It's to lead by serving. It's to serve by leading. Servant leadership. Setting aside our priorities so that we can best serve our wives and our children. And again, if God commands you to do this, If you depend on him, he's going to empower you and give you what you need to do it and do it well. Continuing on to 1 Timothy 3:4. Now, this is in a section about elders of the church. Leaders of the church, which as I read it, should be male. Here's a trustworthy, not all, these are elders. We have plenty of female leaders at our church who do a tremendous job. We talk about one position here. Here is a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. And then he lists all the attributes of an elder that an elder should have. And man, I want to tell you that every man here should attain to these qualities of eldership. Whether you become an elder or not, you should be qualified to be an elder by being a mature Christian man. And in verses 2 to 3, we see some of those qualifications. But then in verse 4, he says this. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? So again, we saw that the husband learns to be a husband by watching Christ. And here, the elder learns how to be an elder in the church by how he leads his family, how he serves and leads his family. And so we see this going back and forth here, that an elder and a father, a husband, is to be a servant leader in both places, whether eldership or in the home. And we see this picture that when we talk about our church family, it comes from this passage right here. We're supposed to be family, and we're supposed to be treated as family by our elders. So then we go on into our last passage in 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. Now this is also, this passage is also about elders, but again, because of the linkage between being an elder and being a manager of your family, managing your family well, I want you to notice something here. So, verse 1, to the elders among you, this is Peter writing, Jesus' closest friend, the one who Jesus said to him, feed my sheep, the one who had apostolic leadership, certainly a strong leader of the church, probably the closest man to Jesus. To the elders among you, I appeal to you as a fellow elder, humble, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one also will share in the glory to be revealed. And so right there we see, even talking to other elders, the servant leadership, not lording it over people. That's where Peter's coming from here. And he says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. And so, men, be shepherds of that flock that you have at home under your care. And a shepherd, it talks about care here, nurturing, caring, loving. I think we see a little bit of the emotional. There's some physical things here too, but I think it's caring from the heart. It says, be shepherds of God's flock, and remember, or want to have, or will have, and those children that you have or want to have, those are God's kids. He loves them more than you. You are there as his under shepherd, caring for them. He's given you a high calling to care for his women and for his children. Serving. Then he says, serving as overseers. There's a word serving keeps coming up. As overseers. An overseer is a manager. It's someone who's assigned a job to take care of something. But overseer has a little bit, he says, be shepherds, be an overseer. An overseer is a manager. So there's certain things you need to take care of for your family. Administrative qualities that are very important. Serving as a, not because I want you to be. Men, if you're not married, do not back into a marriage. Do not be pressured into a marriage. Enter a marriage because you want to serve. Don't back into one. And don't be backed into a relationship because you didn't follow the advice I gave the high schoolers not to have sex until marriage. Because you got a kid out there. Wait. Till you're willing and able to serve. Not greedy for money. A lot of families are sacrificed on the altar of success and achievement and the chase for the American dream. Men, don't do it. But be eager to serve. Boy, that just keeps coming up, doesn't it? It just keeps coming up, that serving part. Be eager and willing to serve. And the way you're eager, God loves you, and to understand the high calling you have, and to understand you can't do it on your own, that you need God. And when he fills you with that love of his, he'll empower you to do the right things. And again, from wherever you are, if you're feeling regrets right now, work from where you are. Be eager to serve him, not lording it over those entrusted to you. It's not about you. It's about them. And lastly, being examples to the flock. And so I have three daughters, and no matter what happens, they're going to be my daughters. They're going to be my little girls. And I've always wanted them to have a husband, a godly husband. You know, the best way to do it is to treat your wife the way you want your daughter to be treated. When your daughter sees how you treat your wife, she's not going to accept anything less, nothing less at all. Something funny happened to me. My oldest daughter married my son-in-law, Floyd. He was in a sermon last week, too. But Floyd has some children from another marriage. And so they were living with him. And when they got together early on in their marriage, he called a family meeting. And he said, we're going to live together. We're going to have to figure out some rules and some things we're going to do and some things we're not going to do. And so he brought a whiteboard. My daughter said, oh, no, I married my father. I didn't necessarily take that as an insult. And the same thing with your sons. Boys are growing up and not having any idea what it takes to be a man, not having any idea what it takes to be a husband or a father. And so they need you to show him that. They need you to be an example of what a godly man looks like, what a godly husband looks like, what a godly father looks like, what a godly supervisor looks like, what a godly neighbor looks like, what a godly volunteer at church looks like, what a godly elder looks like. They need you. Your sons need you to show them. They're not going to listen as much to what you tell them. They're going to watch you. Then they're going to learn. And men, I really want to encourage you to be volunteers in our church. Because there's a lot of boys growing up, teens growing up without a dad. And maybe they've even had role models, but not good role models. They need to see godly men in action. They need to see that being spiritual and being godly is pretty cool. They need to see that having Jesus Christ in your life makes a difference. Because if they see that, it'll make a difference to them. It'll make a difference to them. Jen, I remember. I don't know if everybody else remembers. Does anybody remember who Jenna asked to give her charge at her baptism? Anybody remember? Larry Gallup, her Sunday school teacher. We need godly role models. Our kids need godly role models. Men, step up to the plate, and God will empower you. And you're saying, Pastor, you've heaped a lot on us today. No, I really haven't. Those are lofty goals for us. But I want to tell you, God is not looking for professional, excelling men who are great teens, husbands, dads, elders, and volunteers. That's not what he's looking for. What he's looking for are men who are available. You can come to Jesus with empty hands. And just like the prophet Isaiah said, when confronted by God and God needed someone, he said, send me. Or he said, here I am, send me. That's who God's looking for. People who would say, here I am, send me. You don't have to come with all professional kind of qualifications. Just come and make yourself available. Die to self. Die to self and want to serve. Be a servant leader. So I want to ask all the guys here today that want to come to the Lord today with empty hands, in whatever capacity you are, to be just, if it's just to be a godly man, which is really important, a godly husband, a godly father, a godly supervisor, will you stand and put your hands out, whether you're here at home? Do you want to make yourself available? If you want to make yourself available for God to use you, are you available? Please stand. Please stand and let God know. And you could be a teenager and want that. You could be 5 years old and want that. You could stand too. You could stand here. There's no age limit. You could make the decision to make yourself available for God at a young age, and I pray that you would do that. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for our men who want to be available. Thank you, God, that you will empower them, that you will give them a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit even now as we speak. It's a high calling, but Lord, it is an absolute privilege to be able to serve you. And I just pray that our lives are changed today, that every, Lord, take away all our regrets, take away all our failures. We confess them to you right now, Lord. It's probably a long list for all of us when we think about it. But Lord, you want us to forget what's behind and strain forward. So I pray that we would do that today. I pray this in Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen.